Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my pal Sean Orford. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm doing stunningly well. How are you doing?
Did you notice something different about the intro there? It's only a very subtle but important change.
We didn't laugh.
There you go, just changed that. No, I didn't mention the episode number.
Why is that?
I don't know, I just think I'm just going to call it the Self-Help Podcast now. It's not like... I'm not comparing myself to Graham Norton or anything, but at the start of every one of his shows, he doesn't say what episode he's up to. Or...
You don't think we should be saying, and now we're at episode 197?
No.
No.
Maybe I think it dates him a little bit. I don't know. I'm going to experiment.
But maybe if someone's listened to them in sequence. Because okay. People do that. People say to me, I've just discovered your podcast and I've downloaded 70.
Well, it says on the screen in front of them, it'll say that still. It's episode 74 for those out there, by the way.
Okay. Yes. This end and the only ones that got obsessive compulsive disorders. Yeah. It's...
There goes that experiment. Anyway, never mind. How are you doing? You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm back running again. Haha, yes.
Beautiful.
So, which is good. Did 4K this week, so I'm building up again, because we have a half marathon booked for the end of January. So
lovely.
I have to be fit for them.
Beautiful. Well, drum roll, please.
Yeah, this is the big one.
Yeah, we have finally had our little second baby boy, haven't we?
Yep. We.
No, me and you, jeez.
We've done really well, Ed.
We, Bethan and I, yeah, I know we've been building up to it for weeks and weeks. October 16th, little baby Jacob was born.
Amazing.
So it was quite a... Actually, it was... I mean, I don't have to do that much, do I? Poor old Bethan.
No, I think it's good when you come back from the labour suite and then your mates take you down the pub and they'll go, well done, well done.
Yeah, well, we haven't done that yet. Yeah. Need to wet the baby's head and all that, but... second time round, it was pretty close call. We only got to the hospital with like half an hour to spare, so it was
probably the way to do it, you know.
Yeah,
when you arrive there hours ahead of time and go through that.
Yeah, well, that's what it was last time, and I wouldn't say it was an enjoyable process for Bethan, although actually she did almost straight away kind of think, oh, I could do that again. But yeah, little baby Jake doing well.
So when's the next one coming?
Oh, crikey. Yeah, I was reading an article about it, actually, on The Guardian. Typical Guardian kind of article, but some lefty type. And she's probably got a point, to be fair, saying how the worst thing you can do if you want to, or to keep global warming or climate change going, is to have a child. Like, that's the biggest impact on climate change is another human being. So I kind of, I can see where they're coming from. But he's a cute little fella, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
He's doing well.
I'm amazed how small babies are. Mm. That when you see a newborn, and it's like, how does all that work in there? I mean, it's such a tiny thing.
Crazy.
Amazing.
£7.12 for those that are interested, probably the ladies listening.
Yeah.
Ladies always want to know the weight, don't they?
But that's a good weight, £7.12, isn't it?
Yeah.
The thing that amazes me is when they're doing surgery, say they're doing heart surgery, on a little tiny baby, and it's just so small. How on earth do they do that? It must be such a delicate thing to do.
Yeah.
Really clever. Very clever.
So, yeah, just adjusting my life. He hasn't been too much of a... He's sleeping well and all that stuff, but it's all good fun.
Yeah.
Dad to two boys now. It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I'm also father to this podcast, so let's crack on with it, because we're talking about spark this week in terms of relationships, how to keep the spark going, how to... Well, we'll get on to it, because there's some interesting things we're going to discuss. There's a blog post to accompany this podcast. If you go to liveinthepresent.co.uk, you can have a read of that as well as listen to all the archived shows and get your hands on some resources via our website, some of which are free and are incredibly effective, aren't they, Sean?
They are stunningly amazing.
That you wouldn't believe. I've got anything else to mention before that? Not really, no. We'll just dive in, Sean, because this was kind of my idea, this one.
Was it triggered by something?
Not really, no, but thinking about it, and I have found an article that backs this up that I'll put on the show notes in terms of how having a kid can affect a relationship.
Right.
It's been on my mind, or I wanted to talk about this for a while, because, you know, you have that cool little honeymoon period in relationship, and then obviously if you get together, which is the goal most of the time when you meet a person you like, and you get married and all that stuff, then that initial hit, that high, just kind of fades a bit, doesn't it, generally? So what's going on there, Sean? What's going on?
We're talking about brain chemistry. We're talking about my mate dopamine.
Ah.
And dopamine is the love drug.
Yeah.
And what you're looking at is you're looking at the first hit in a relationship is dopamine with a bit of adrenaline and something called vasopressin, which are the main hormones that are going on in your system.
Yep.
So the adrenaline speeds up your heart rate. You get things like dilation of the pupils, so that the pupils get bigger. And you get vasodilation, so that all your blood vessels open up, which usually means that you get a blush on the cheeks. And if you think about women wearing makeup, women do things to accentuate their eyes, to pull your eyes out, because that's a main attractor when we're looking at each other.
Yeah.
And they put blusher on their cheeks to accentuate that level of arousal.
Mm-hmm.
But as the vasodilation happens, then people's lips, both men and women, their lips will fill and start to get that kind of pouty thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they get redder and bigger, which is what women are doing at the moment. Where they're aping that by injecting their lips with all kinds of things that puff them up, and then some look a bit like ducks.
Yeah, and then doing selfies of themselves and put it on Facebook, yeah. Pouting and all that weird, yeah. Selfie look.
And that's the natural process. But also, as the vasodilation goes on, you obviously get blood in the nipples, so you get erect nipples, both men and women.
Mm-hmm.
Genitals get engorged with blood, both men and women, more obvious than the man, of course, as the blood flows in. Yeah, and most aphrodisiacs, or things that we would think of as aphrodisiacs, whether you're talking about oysters, whether you're talking about Viagra, whether you're talking about ground rhino horn or whatever it is that you're taking, the aim of it is vasodilation.
Right.
So that the blood, so you're aping this natural process of attraction, as it were, that would be there, mm-hmm. naturally. So the thing has to be, I suppose, from my point of view, I always think of it as elastic. You stick your elastic on somebody.
Yeah, you've talked about this before.
Yeah, the emotional elastic, and then it pulls, and that's what you've got, the pull that's going on. The bit that fascinates me is why. Why do you stick your bit of elastic on that particular person? And that's the bit that's the unknown. It's like we know what happens when someone is attracted to another person. And that could just be across a crowded room, you know, smoky room, smoke gets in your eyes. And then your eyes lock.
Yep.
And suddenly you're there, your elastic is connected. But why that person? Why not the person next to them?
I remember when we first met, Sean. As if it were yesterday.
And our eyes locked. Yeah. And your pupils dilated.
I just knew I'd have a podcast with you one day.
Saw the blush on your cheeks. It's the thing that would seem to me is that if that initial hit, the dopamine, there's bits of oxytocin in there, vasopressin and adrenaline, those are the things that are the engaging arousal chemistry. What tends to happen in a relationship, what you were talking about, why does it fade? In the beginning, the dominant chemical in the mix is dopamine. And then as you start to bond in the relationship, and oxytocin is the bonding chemical, it comes up.
Yep.
Yeah, so that oxytocin, I love this, I've said it before on air, but I'll say it again, that there's this wonderful relationship between nipples, sucking nipples, and oxytocin. And it happens when the baby's born. Yeah, what happens is that the mother puts the baby to the breast and the mother watches the baby and the baby watches the mother. They get this eye contact going.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but as that happens, and it's the nipple sucking which is important, the effect of doing the sucking on the child's point of view creates oxytocin in the child's brain. But the fact that the nipple is being sucked creates oxytocin in the woman's brain, which is the bonding chemical.
Yeah.
Yeah. When people have high levels of oxytocin in their relationship, they're very bonded. But because of the issues of nipples, there is an issue of when people have sexual activity, those people that get involved in nipple play as foreplay or whatever, they tend to have more oxytocin in their system. So they tend to be a more bonded couple.
Okay.
So nipple fiddling is a way of maintaining a relationship.
We've got to be real careful what we say here. Well, especially because we've just had our child. So I've been in that labour ward, man, really recently. And the midwives now, they promote skin to skin. So it's not just mother and father. It's like mother and baby, it's the father as well. So it's like, do you want a bit of skin to skin now? It's like, okay, yeah, chuck them over. Yeah. But actually, interestingly, with second child, because obviously they ask you if you've had children before, And like, as soon as they know you've had a kid, they just all attempt to kind of advise you on certain things just goes out the window. First time around, obviously trying to push breastfeeding massively.
Yeah.
First time, but this time they weren't even, they didn't barely even ask. They're like, do what you want. Do whatever you want, man. Because they know they, but,
is that because they assume that by the time you've had one child, you've already decided what you're doing?
Yeah.
And you're doing,
yeah, they know you've got a plan in the.
Yeah.
That's it.
So first time out, they're trying to get you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's cool, man. Yeah, and I had that time with Jacob, you know, just a week ago, or 2 weeks ago nearly. Where I got to spend, you know, some good early time with him.
Be interesting to see if there's any research on if you're breastfeeding a baby.
I wasn't breastfeeding.
Or if you're bottle feeding a baby, is whether the bottle feeding has a similar effect to the breastfeeding. You know, because if the baby's looking at you and sucking,
yeah,
is it creating oxytocin? I wonder what effect that's having on the person, presumably the mother that's holding the
Will was bottle fed. And obviously that's something where I can get involved as well, obviously.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm holding him in the same kind of position he would be if he was breastfed. Mm. So, you know, staring in his eyes the whole time and watching him look around.
Yeah.
Same with Jacob now, so... There'll be loads out there, man, because,
yeah,
like I say, yeah, there are on the labour wards, there are these breastfeeding...
Yeah.
I won't call them what I just called them before. They're lovely people. They got their
enthusiasts.
Agenda. Very enthusiastic, man. Yeah, it's like, back off. But there'll be a lot of research out there, which we will put some show notes up in the or some links up in the show notes.
Yeah. I found a lovely little quote when we were talking about this. And I was thinking about the idea that we know that when people are attracted to each other, their pupils dilate. And this is a bit, it says here, when women in the Middle Ages, in Italy, this is, recognising that beauty endowed them with wide-open pupils, so that they knew that this, the opening of the pupils was a highly attractive point. And they used to take a herb called belladonna.
Belladonna.
Which would make their pupils dilate. The problem is that belladonna is also a poison. So it has a chemical in it called atropine. And the issue was that you could take enough to make your pupils dilate so that you appeared very attractive to men. Yeah, if you took too much, it killed you. Hmm. So there was getting the balance right.
Wow. I should try some of that stuff.
Quite amazing.
So it's just kind of, you're trying to simulate the high that you get from that dopamine. I take it there are plenty of drugs on the market, legally and illegally, perhaps, that get you
in that mood. Yeah, people do that, yeah. Yeah, there are drugs that take you the other way. You'll see someone who's stoned on amphetamines, maybe, and they've got pupils like pinheads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've closed right down.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it goes either way, depending on what you're taking. But the things that are dilators, that's the thing. There's all things that are natural dilators, like even broccoli, things like that.
Really?
That work on your vascular system, yeah.
Self-help tip for you then, yeah. Keep your relationship going with broccoli.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of those green vegetables, the ones that you don't eat when you're a kid, are good dilators.
Mm-hmm. Will loves broccoli. I see a side point there. Not a good bang on about my kids all the time. But,
he'd be well dilated.
He likes Haribo as well, but
yeah,
probably would rank broccoli above Haribo. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Good everybody dilator. Should be eating broccoli every day. It's good food.
Yeah, it's a superfood. Yeah, I love it. I love broccoli as well, actually.
If we start looking at body language,
yeah,
right. These things are, if I read these things out, they're things that happen between a couple, right? And they happen naturally as you go through that connecting process. The dopamine's up and you're feeling good. And you do these kinds of things. The thing that is important in this is that if you actually do these things consciously, it has the same effect. It's that thing about the brain can't tell the difference whether something's actually happening or whether you're visualising it.
Yep.
Yeah. So that you can fool your own system by aping these things, but you actually fool the system of the person that you're with, so that you can actually develop high levels of dopamine by just acting something out.
Wow.
Right, so...
Go on then.
Okay, right. Number one, when couples first meet, part of the body language, as they're looking at each other, is you get this repeated looking between the eyes and the lips. Because the eyes are where the pupil is going to be dilated, so that's the connection point. And the lips are the point of sensuality.
Yep.
Yeah, so we get the kissing stuff. So you get, so actually looking between someone's eyes and someone's lips, and they can see you doing it. And they may even see you doing it below their awareness, but it starts to have the same effect. We're talking about this tuning in that happens.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
When you're falling in love, one of the things is you laugh at things that aren't funny. Do you know what I mean? Your chemistry's up. We do it all the time.
Yeah, every week we do.
Your chemistry's up so that you've got a lot of energy to go somewhere, and it going in laughter is a good place for it to go.
Huh.
But it's like the person that you're starting to connect with is cracking a really awful joke, and you find yourself laughing at it. Which later on you think, oh my God, you know, that was terrible. But when you're in the moment,
yeah.
So that kind of thing. One of the other things is touching and stroking. Now, in Britain, we're not good at that generally. You know, some women are, but men and women touching and stroking. You will see people walking along holding hands, which is good.
Yep.
You know, arm in arm, that kind of stuff. But naturally, as tribe animals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not that different to apes, really.
Yeah.
But the need to touch and reinforce, which really touching is a part of foreplay. Mm. I always say, if you're down at Tesco's and you watch people, and I actually saw this. There was a couple who were leaning over a frozen food cabinet. I think they were getting peas, and he was caressing her bum as they were leaning over the cabinet. Just spontaneous. It wasn't deliberate. It was like a spontaneous, natural action. And you could tell that they were tuning. They were in a state of foreplay.
Yeah.
And it may have been hours. It may have been hours before they did anything about it. But if you live in a world of that kind of touching, sensual foreplay, then you're building that kind of sexual, sensual energy anyway, even mm-hmm. if you are in Tesco's.
Yeah, why not? Yeah?
And that's sure. something that we can all do.
Okay.
Yeah. One of the other things is when you sit down together, do you face each other? Do you face away from each other? Because as you when you're in that bonding situation, you turn towards each other and you're face on. Yeah? And that goes through into bed, doesn't it? Like when you're in bed with your partner, do you sleep like two single people either side of the bed?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you have back to back? Do you face each other? Do you do the spooning thing?
Oh.
You know, are you entwined? Are you cuddled together? Because each of those things is describing energy between you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it can be difficult, can't it? If it's the middle of the winter and it's hot. No, the winter of the summer and it's hot. Or the winter.
It could be.
Yeah.
Can be hot.
And central heating's gone wrong. And you can't turn it off. You know, it's like the last thing you need to do is cuddle someone else because they're burning up.
Sure.
But generally, that's a good thing.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
There's a whole load of other things that people do, is the kind of hair twiddling, all that the kind of nervousy stuff that people do.
Yeah.
Yeah. But all the time they do it, they've got facial contact with you because we look at each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Think about that. But when everyone's listening to this, when you first met your partner, how much time did you spend actually looking in their face, and how much you look in their face now?
Right.
Yeah. And if you went home now and then you looked in their face, they'd say, what are you looking at? What are you doing? You know, because maybe it's a while since you did it.
Okay.
Yeah. But being able to actually look, because I say when we're talking about people sorting their lives out, it's about going down to the mirror, looking at yourself in the mirror, smiling at yourself, because the smile makes your brain chemistry change, or that's your own smile.
Mm-hmm.
Looking yourself in your eyes, it makes your eyes dilate, and saying, I love you, creates a level of oxytocin in your system,
mm-hmm.
so that you're starting to bond with yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah? And that's what happens when you're with a couple. But eye contact, I suppose the other thing that's quite common is people copy each other's body language.
Yeah.
When they're tuned in. And that might be right through to the point where you're thinking of a song, it's going through your head, and suddenly your partner starts singing it, and you think, well, what's that like?
I mean, you see it in relationships as well. We obviously are attracted to people that look like ourselves, aren't we? Because you'll see it with people. Couples quite often have similar kind of facial features and like the shape of their face and all that kind of stuff, you know. So we are attracted to people that look like us as well.
I think that's true. Dogs as well.
Quite a bit of research in that.
People are attracted to dogs that have a similarity with them.
Personality-wise, or...
Both looks and personality. Big ears. Yeah. Yeah. Keep panting a lot, yeah.
I mean, we're talking about dopamine and that initial hit, and the title of this podcast will be something along the lines of how to keep the spark going, but is what people really, or couples should really be going, is to how to manage the process of relaxing into a relationship and getting...
I guess it starts with being clear with yourself about what you want. You know, some people want a nice, bonded, solid relationship that doesn't have the challenge of dopamine, because dopamine means excitement, it means difference, it means change.
Yeah.
And that's why when people have affairs, the reason they have affairs usually is because they need a dopamine hit.
Yep.
Yeah. And if you get the serial philanderer, you get someone who is addicted to dopamine. And I have known quite a few people, both men and women, who have the three rule, which is you can have sex with somebody three times and after that you move on to someone else. And the reason they do that is they want to keep the dopamine going.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want the other person to slip into the oxytocin and become bonded so they can't get rid of them.
Yeah.
You know, so that by just bouncing from a dopamine hit to a dopamine hit, they feed their own need for dopamine.
Yeah, and I guess with that, they're not hurting the other person too much by, you know, stringing them along and...
I don't know. I mean, it depends, doesn't it?
Depends on the other person.
Does that mean that you're using people like a utensil rather than... It's hard, that one.
Yeah.
I suppose if both people get what they need out of the situation, then there's nothing wrong with that, I suppose.
Yeah, I'd do it from the start, yeah.
Yeah, if it's exploitation, then that's not good.
No.
But one of the things we were talking about before we went on air is that to be in a dopamine state is actually quite tiring.
Mm.
When you're loaded with those hormones and you can't get the other person out of your head and you keep ringing them up or texting them and maybe you're still talking at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, you start to get exhausted. And one of the reasons people can't maintain dopamine continually is because it just wears you out.
Yep.
But when people become dopamine junkies, they'll go for the height and then they hit the low and then they have to go for the height again. So they're on this kind of zigzag up and down.
Mm-hmm.
But then people, like, you know, when you do your go-karting stuff.
Yes.
And you get excited, that's a dopamine hit.
Yeah, which I haven't done in a while, actually, but...
People that do things that have that kind of excitement, that kind of wow factor, it's dopamine. Mm. Yeah, I'm very aware that when Ree and I go away somewhere and we see new things and share that kind of the newness of things together, that's dopamine.
Yeah.
That's a good dopamine hit. And that's the point, I guess, is that if you want to maintain the spark and the woo in something, what's the newness that's going on?
Yep.
What's the new experience? What are you going to do next? It's when you settle into the same old, same old.
And one of the things on my list, because we had a little list of how do we keep that elastic between people tight, is the ability to allow the other person to do their own thing as well. You know, you don't have to live in each other's pockets the whole time, do you?
Well, if you use the elastic example, if there's tension in the elastic so that both of you go and do what you do with your lives and the elastic pulls you back together, that's the attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do a good dance in life so that you're both individuals in your own right, but you are an acknowledged couple, so you go off, you do your stuff, but you come back, it pulls you back.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. If you get too close, as it were, so you become complacent, there's no tension in the elastic, there's no pull, there's no attraction.
Sure.
Until you go to the party and someone's talking to your partner and then the elastic goes twang and you're over there like a shot. What's going on here? Because someone's yanked your elastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you want to keep the elastic taut, you need to do things that are fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a big one. If you think about this, if you're listening to this, when did you last have fun for you as an individual, which will feed your dopamine? But when did you last have fun together? As mm-hmm. a couple. And one of the things you were talking about with kids, you know, that there you are, you're a couple and you're doing things, maybe you're going out on wild holidays sometimes, you're going and having crazy weekends, you're going for meals, whatever, and you're feeding the dopamine part of your system and suddenly these children arrive and you're housebound.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's where we're at the moment, man. I mean, Will's just get to the phase, nearly three, where he could almost take care of himself. He's not, like, he hasn't got his own set of keys or anything.
Send him out to work.
Yeah, he hasn't got his own set of keys or he's not, like, yeah, doing babysitting for us. But he can kind of sit him by himself now and he'll be all right. And then all of a sudden, pal, we're back into this 3-4 hour routine where
yeah.
Jake needs feeding every so often. He's full, well, it's more than full time, man. You can't take your eyes off him, really. Though he's pretty chilled out, and you can lie him down, and he'll just stare at the ceiling, and just look and watch the light swinging and all that. But there's an article I found which is a pretty ugly title called "Kids Can Make a Beautiful Marriage Ugly," which talks about the realities of how starting a family does change the dynamics between the partners, doesn't it? The mum and the dad.
So sometimes...
Not always for the bad, the good.
Yeah, so sometimes you get a situation where because everything is focused around the pregnancy and the woman, and the woman is getting her dopamine hit by being pregnant and by all the attention that goes with it and the people conversations that go on.
Coming up and stroking the belly and all that.
Yeah.
Get your hands up.
Yeah. The man can end up feeling dopamine deprived. And when men... have affairs, it's not uncommon for it to be when that first pregnancy is either coming to an end or when the baby's born.
Wow. Okay.
And that again is usually it's men trying to get some dopamine.
Yeah,
you know they're missing it. They're in withdrawal.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they've got some kind of active other stuff going on, like they go karting or whatever they do, go and hang off mountains or go to the gym or do things that feed other bits of the system.
Yeah.
Then they can end up being deprived, and someone comes along who gives them a dopamine hit, gives them a bit of spark, a bit of elastic.
Yeah.
And they wander off.
We're fortunate with our kids in that we've got a good support network around us, grandparents, friends that are always willing to help out. So we talked about as well, you have kind of date night with Reed, don't you? And I know Bethan and I try and...
Yeah. Yeah, we try and do it. It gets hijacked sometimes, but but also going away. We go away more than we used to, and that's good time. It's good space because it's actually us time.
Yeah,
and it's the focus time, and there is oxytocin in that, but there's dopamine in it as well. So it's good. It's good time. Yeah,
cool. But just about setting a bit of time, whether it's once a week, once a month. Just some time for yourselves, eh?
But how long would it go for you before you could leave Jacob in the arms of another? First year?
I mean, I'm pretty cool with it any time. Yeah, you offering? I know, Reed be offering.
Yeah, Reed. Yeah,
probably not that long. I mean, I don't know how long it was with Will before we left him, even with one of our parents overnight. It was probably a good few months, a bit longer maybe. With Jake, I think it'll be, we'll be like, yeah, go on. A bit more chilled out about it.
Because of the nature of your family, extended family, there's a lot of oxytocin in the family. There's a lot of that bonded supporting
that goes
on. It's the kind of family that bonds well. Mm-hmm. You can see it when you have like a social event. And because Will's brought up in that, he probably feels a lot of oxytocin bonds with all of the extended family.
Yeah.
And he's very secure from that point of view.
Yeah.
Whereas you get a kid that's in a nuclear family, maybe with a single parent, who doesn't have the oxytocin bonding beyond being with the mother, and can get lots of insecure attachment, going to play school or being with other people.
Would that be the type of person that later in life is looking for the dopamine hit, do you think? Or
could be, yeah.
Just trying to think, because one of the last points I put on my little notes was maybe dopamine's overrated. Maybe that initial spark, as great as it is, is overrated, and it's there.
If you look at it from the point of view of evolution, and you want to get two people together to recreate life, then dopamine is a good thing. Because one of the things that happens, and this is always true with your brain, is that the chemistry which is about emotion, when it turns on, inevitably you become stupid. Because the idea of thinking and feeling, they don't go together. The feeling side is turned on and dominates the thinking side, and the less the thinking side moderates, and the more stupid we become.
Yeah.
And so you're stupid when you're drunk, because that's what's happened, but you're stupid when you're in love, too. Same thing. Same bit of your system as well.
Yeah. Okay. I've run out of things to say. Have you got anything else to...
I think that's extraordinary. I've never known you run out of things to say.
That's outrageous.
Is this... Have you got baby brain? Is
that like I went out to meet someone the other night, just briefly... And I went out in my slippers. I was networking. I got halfway down the Borough Road in the world,
You were driving,
and then realised my feet feel awfully comfortable. My slippers on. They're quite smart slippers, so they just about got away with it.
I wanted one to know whether you had your rollers in.
Yeah, but baby brain is in there. Big effect.
But it's bound to be like that for a while, so that's okay.
Yeah, it mainly manifests itself as like just forgetting to attach PDFs to emails, which isn't too
bad. Yeah, right.
I did that.
Yeah,
anyway.
Where's the PDF?
Sorry, no attachment.
Yeah. But I think that from your point of view, when you meet the baby for the first time, you're doing the same everybody else says. You get that dopamine woo bit, yeah, which settles into oxytocin, which is the bonded relationship. And it's how long does it take for that for the dopamine oxytocin change to happen? And that happens in all relationships. You know, so if you go to work in a job for the first time, it's full of the woo of dopamine and gradually settles into the oxytocin of normality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. The thing is, that's fascinating for me is how much of it is the chemistry in the brain controlling the way that we feel, and how much is it the way that we feel controlling the brain and the chemistry?
Mm.
And it's a kind of an unanswerable question in a way because both affect each other.
Chicken and the egg, yeah.
Yeah,
mad chemicals flowing through our bloodstream, yeah. Blimey! All right, any final points, or should we go to our resource?
I'm cool. I've got two resources. One is it's the love at first sight bit, which I put a connect up for, which is good.
I was playing that the other day, actually.
Connect up for.
There's a little
connect
tip.
Four.
Keeping the fizzle in your relationship. Just have a game of connect four every now and again. Yeah, go on, sorry, you were saying.
Yeah. I was just thinking when you said connect, because the idea that these days you can track everybody on their phone so you know where they are.
Yeah.
Even down to the house in the street. You know, maybe people having affairs makes it more and more difficult because people can't hide.
But. I guess so. But Bethan and I are connected. We have that Find Friends app for our iPhones, so
we
can always see where each other is.
Yeah.
I use it mainly just when Bethan was working. Before maternity leave, I could see when she was on her way home, so I could get dinner on.
Yeah. Yeah, Ree does that if I go for a long run, because she can look at Find Your iPhone and she can see where I am. She can see it moving around the Wirral.
See how fast you're going here, or are we just sitting off in the pub or something?
Yeah, it's just around the corner having a drink. Stagger back up 2 hours in.
I'm knackered. Yeah, go on anyway.
My other resource is my book that you can get off the site called What Colour Is Your Knicker Elastic?
Yeah.
Which is all about relationships, how we make relationships, different kinds of relationships, different kinds of love. And when you say, I love you, what do you mean?
Mm.
It's all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's a good title, that one.
Yeah.
Good title, Knicker Elastic. I got a movie.
Go on.
Do you want to answer that?
No.
It's called 500 Days of Summer. It's got Joseph Gordon-Levitt in it, who you'll know if you saw him.
Yeah,
it's basically like a rom com, but it's a really cool kind of film about a couple in the early stages of their relationship. The girl's name is Summer, and he's with her for 500 days. Funny enough, and beautiful, really beautiful movie. It's kind of funny but heartfelt, and it does go through that process actually of showing you the initial spark of a relationship and then how they grow to. I won't give too much away to kind of learn a bit more about each other.
500 Days of Summer.
Yeah, I got the DVD, I'll get it, but really, really beautiful movie.
Yeah.
So that is my resource. Are we all done, Sean?
Yeah, I'm good.
Next week, we're going to talk about learning to say no, which is one of our listeners has requested that, so we will deliver as we always do.
I refuse to do that.
Nah! Just do this one more thing for me. One more episode, 75. No. So that's next week. In the meantime, visit the website for all the links, things we've just discussed. If you could share the show with a pal, that would be brilliant. Just send them the link to the website, livingthepresent.co.uk or iTunes link and all that stuff, whatever you want to do. We haven't had an iTunes review for quite a while, and it's saddening me. Although some people have done another one for us, like a second one.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Stick us a review up.
Yeah, if you
make
go on
my
iTunes
day.
And
yes, show me you love me.
Leave us a review. It doesn't have to be 5 stars, but we'll take it on board and let us know what you'd like us to talk about. We've got quite a few to come in the future which are already booked in, but we're always looking for ideas, aren't we, Sean? All right.
I think we should do one on date nights.
Date nights?
Yeah.
Recipe ideas and stuff like that? Or?
Oh, yeah, places to go.
Pasta for me.
Where would you go?
If I ever cook someone pasta, you know you've made it, because I only make pasta to the people I I really like it.
You've made me pasta.
I have, yeah.
I feel ready. My dopamine has just got up a notch.
Yeah, I didn't put any cream in it or anything like that.
No, brilliant.
Then, yeah, that's how much you love me, Sean. Okay, right, Sean, you have a good week.
And you.
And everyone out there.
And love to you and yours.
Many thanks. Cheers.
You take it.
I'll get back to the bottle. See ya. Bye.